live from the House of Magic Multi-Arts Gallery and Inspirational Center. It's Listen Up Ventura, brought to you by the White Rabbit Magic Shop, with your hosts, Julie, Jim, and Scott.
I hate more than I should have.
There's the bourbon talking. Listen up, it's Ventura. Yeah, we're here.
Listen up, Ventura. I'm a little late.
What up? Oh, are we on?
Yeah, listen to everybody just like bumping the mics, and it's like, oh, scramble.
Where's Woo. The, I thought.
Well, you know, you snacks? Didn't give us
thought,
a heads
I were,
up.
I no. thought there were going to be snacks.
Yeah.
Why would there be
snacks? Oh, is that the only reason why you drink your bourbon? Man, we just finished up Life with Marcus, according to Marcus.
Yes.
And
you just revealed yourself to be a part of it.
I just recorded it. I didn't say I was a part of it.
Oh, okay.
So.
I'm going to go ahead and sit
yeah.
the bourbon.
And so Marcus has been pleasantly sampling the cuisine in this room.
Cuisine means food, Jim.
Yeah.
This is bourbon.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think Scott left my cookies because those were.
All right.
So.
Yeah, we had to put it explicit last week.
Got it. Okay, I have to change my thing.
Yes.
Hello, Ventura. Yeah, my name is Marcus Redman. I'm a reputable human being.
Who's feeling pretty good right now.
Yes, I am.
That's because he has the promise of me making him chocolate chip cookies.
Can I just say
with
right now?
With nuts or without?
No, without nuts.
Okay.
I just want to say right now,
sometimes
before we go
you
farther,
feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Actually, I never feel like a nut. That's a whole different issue that you would have to deal with. Julie Langtine makes the best chocolate chip cookies that I have ever had in my entire life. And I've had a lot of chocolate chip cookies. A lot. These are the best. That's all I'm going to say. They're amazing. They're the best. I give the floor to you, Jim.
Mrs. Fields, look out.
Absolutely. Mrs.
Fields.
I was going to use profanity, but I realize what show I'm on. So I will say, Mrs. Fields, you have been replaced.
That was the most polite I think I've ever heard you refer to something like that.
I enjoy bourbon.
That's good. Mm-hmm. He does seem happy. Mm. So, 1 week away from Christmas. Have you got your Christmas shopping done? We are not, by the way, just as an FYI, we are not getting into the holidays. This is not a holiday discussion.
It's a different show. I wouldn't go into that. This is not the show for that type of discussion.
Very good.
I do. The tree is up. Things are holiday-esque.
So you got lights on your tree?
There are lights. There's a happy little boy running around waiting for Santa. Happy holidays, Ventura. Mm.
We had a fabulous time decorating our tree this year because we've put decorating and all that type of stuff off for a couple years because of all the craziness.
Right.
And this year we decided we weren't going to do that. So we had all the boys. I coordinated all their schedules and had them home. And then some of their girlfriends and
really?
Ken, and we did a tree decorating party.
So you guys did like a tree trimming party?
Yeah, everybody was there, and I made all sorts of little finger foods and snack
foods.
That
is so cool.
It was fun.
You know, I was just talking to my wife about a tree trimming party. Tree trimming party, they're really fun.
Well, it was better than just putting up the tree.
Yeah.
Because you're making something out of it. You're spending time with people. You're talking
Absolutely.
To everybody. Because we do all those keepsake ornaments.
Right.
So they all have meaning.
Yes.
And they go all the way back to when Jim and I were dating.
Beautiful.
So we can talk about each one. And, do you remember when we got this? And,
That's
this.
That's really
and
cool.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Now, do you mind if I make a sort of therapeutic suggestion?
What?
All right. So, this is something that I actually came up with while I was writing a script, but I think it's actually very apropos to the situation.
Definition, please.
Apropos?
Yes.
Appropriate.
I was going to say appropriate.
Appropriate.
Thank you.
It's in the word. You can hear it.
You know what I mean? See, this is funny. See, in our other show, there's a lot of non-friendly language. That
I was
going to
say a lot of words he doesn't understand.
When when there's bourbon happening, but in this show, even when there's bourbon, there's appropriateness. So, my point is, you just mentioned that there are a lot of things that you were putting on the tree that go all the way back to when you and Jim were dating. I think, for the good of every marriage, not just yours, every marriage. Here's the thing. If you're dating someone and then you marry that person, right? It's not like you've ever broken up with your girlfriend. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like your girlfriend becomes your fiance, becomes your wife. So you never broke up with your girlfriend. So by that rationale, you should never stop dating. Mm. Go ahead and permeate on that for a while I sip my bourbon.
All right. So, first of all, this is the other show. So, so Bubba's going to check his hat at the door. But I haven't met anyone who hasn't married somebody they've been dating.
Well, this is my point.
Well, unless it's like a one-night stand and they have a baby and then they,
but
you know.
That's my point. If you are with your girlfriend and your girlfriend becomes your fiancé and your fiancé becomes your wife, you never broke up with your girlfriend. You never stopped dating your girlfriend. So, in essence, a marriage should be the same as dating. You never
with
broke up.
With one exception. You're guaranteed to get lucky.
Not always.
You know what, Julie? Let's say he's right. Let's say you are guaranteed. Even more reason to never stop dating. Permeate on that for a second.
I was going to say, isn't there a saying there is no guarantee except for hand grenades and something else?
Dang, taxes and hand grenades.
That seems like a topic for the other show. Yeah. Like, wow.
So how did that like permeate from decorating the tree?
Okay, so here's the thing. I was working on a piece of material and it was about a therapist, and the therapist was a marriage counselor, and he always sided with the wives. And this was part of his whole thing. You know, part of his therapy was telling the husbands, "Listen, you never broke up with your girlfriend. So that means everything that you would do for your girlfriend, you should do for your wife." That was part of the thing. That was the part of the script. The therapist in the script was getting married. So in the story, he is doing the therapy. Everything's going wonderfully. He goes to get married, and he gets left at the altar. So he ends up changing his entire philosophy because he gets dumped at the altar. However, that's a story. I'm just saying, the point still has validity, I believe. Julie, what do you think?
I say it to him all the time.
I'm just saying.
He didn't break up with me. He married me.
This is the point that the therapist makes. This is what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if you don't break up with your girlfriend, everything that you do for your girlfriend, you should probably be doing for your wife.
If he thought I was good enough then, he made the choice to continue and have it for the rest of his life. So.
Shaka-laka ding-dong is all I'm saying.
So the moral to the story is don't marry your girlfriend.
The moral of the story is
I'm sleeping on the couch.
Kentucky Straight Bourbon is fantastic bourbon.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need to write down the name of that bottle. I need to replace some things.
It's bullet bourbon. It's fantastic. It's wonderful.
So, so these ornaments, by the way, actually go back further than when we were dating.
Really? Well, some of them are from when you were a little kid, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mother used to buy us ornaments every single Christmas.
Really?
Yep. And when we got married, she boxed up all the ornaments and she gave them to us. So we had ornaments to start our own tree.
That's amazing.
And that's what we're doing with our children.
That's awesome.
So every year they have a new ornament and we'll put it in a box. And when they get married, they can put it for their tree.
Now, is that a New Hampshire tradition or is that just...
No, that was just his mother's.
That's really cool. That's very, very cool.
And we decided to take it on with our own boys.
I don't know what tradition we have because we lived all over the country.
But you're from New Hampshire, right?
No, I was born in San Jose.
Oh, okay.
New York, San Jose.
Whereabouts in New York?
Tupper Lake.
Say what now?
Redneck.
Ah, gotcha.
You can see, if you stand on the mountain, what is it, Big Tupper or something like that, you can see the Canadian border.
Wow.
It's that close.
That's very close. It's weird because I feel like I have this deeper connection with you guys because I'm working on projects that will actually shoot in New Hampshire, and you guys hail from New Hampshire, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, some of the places were actually really close to where we live, too.
There's Manchester that we're looking at,
not
Rochester.
That that's hard to do if you've been in New Hampshire. You can drive across it in a couple hours.
The truth is, when I went to New Hampshire, I actually stayed in Maine.
My mom lives in Manchester.
Your mom lives in Manchester?
Yeah.
One of the films we're looking to shoot in New Hampshire will be in Manchester. There's Manchester we're looking at, Rochester we're looking at, and Portsmouth, obviously. And then Newcastle, which is like the ritzy.
Right.
Right.
The fancy area. But the person that I have the connect with in New Hampshire, she actually lives in Maine, like just on the other side of Portsmouth. So, yeah.
So that's exciting.
Kind of cool.
So when are you hoping to start filming?
We're hoping to start filming in April of 2015. We would shoot one film we would actually shoot two films in New Hampshire. We would shoot one in Manchester, I believe, in April. We'd take a month off, which really isn't a month off because we got to do pre-production for the second film. The second film would shoot in Portsmouth and Newcastle. And then the third film, we would actually come back to Los Angeles to shoot.
Are you doing a lot of outside shooting?
In the second film, a lot of outside shooting.
Okay, because as I say, in April, it could be really messy.
Yeah, in April, that film, probably 70% of that film will be shot indoors. We're looking at shooting in Portsmouth and Newcastle in the summer. So we would start shooting in June.
That's going to be a busy time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And hope it's not a rainy summer.
And how do you, now you're going to want to get some of these properties, right?
There's a lot of properties that we've actually been able to secure.
During the summer?
Yeah. Because there are a lot of the properties are like houses. And so there are people that are already aware of the film and they're already in support of the film. So they're happy to be a part of the film and be in it. So we're looking at starting in June and kind of going through until probably like early July.
Now, have you looked into, because I saw this on the news probably last month, there's a lot of states that will give tax breaks or yes, all sorts of things because you're shooting in their state.
Yes.
Because it's supposed to bring revenue because of everything about it. Have right. you checked into that?
Here's what's great about New Hampshire for filmmakers. And independent filmmakers, take note. Here's the deal with New Hampshire. Yes, definitely. Live free or die. New Hampshire has no tax breaks. However, they also have no sales tax. And permits in New Hampshire are super, super, super cool. Basically, what you do is you call the sheriff's office and you tell the sheriff's office, we are going to be shooting on this street at this time on this day. And the sheriff's office says, awesome, we'll show up. And they high-five you, and that's it. No permit fees, no location fees.
So it's kind of almost a trade-off then.
It's totally a trade-off because they're just excited about having film production there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's definitely, definitely beneficial, even though there's no actual tax incentive in New Hampshire because there's no sales tax. So it totally works. It totally works out.
Well, you know, and Stephen King, almost every single book he has refers to New Hampshire, mm-hmm. which is kind of unique because a lot of people don't even know much about New Hampshire, refer right. to New Hampshire because it's, where? New Hampshire? What is that?
Right. It's a gorgeous place. I was up there in September and it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
So,
yes.
With that being said,
yes.
Let's take a little break.
Sweet.
Take a little music break.
Love
this
it.
This is Hard Six. 999, not 99 tiers.
Right.
999 tiers.
Amazing. Ah!
It was a cold, dark night when my teardrops fell, and they turned into steam when they reached the depths of hell. You think I'm gone? Well, I'm still right here. You said that I was wrong. Now it's all clear. I'm gonna burn myself and you. And everyone will know the truth. Yeah, I shed 999 tears for you, but not one more. And I'm showing you that door. These tears number 999, but it's over now. And the last one's mine. You thought I was down when I got back up. I stood my ground. Never gone back down. Of the very last tear, you will find no trace, 'cause I stopped it cold before it ever touched my face. Yeah, I shed 999 tears for you, but not one more. And I'm showing you that door. These tears number 999, but it's over now.
That was Hard Six, 999 Tears on Rough Edge Studios. This is Listen Up Ventura.
Yes, and it's been a while since we've heard from you, Hard Six, so we'd love to hear from you again anytime soon.
I hear they're doing a new record.
Mm-hmm.
Great band.
We need some new songs. Mm. So, would you like me to mute your mic while you chow down on your snack? Which, you know, that's hence the music break. So, all right, so I just found out I get to be a doctor in one of his roles in one of his movies, and I get to do an exam on Marcus's character.
Oh, yay. Dr. Jim? Dr. James?
None of that's true.
Or we could call you Dr. Jamelin.
There you go.
You haven't used that name in a long time.
Mm. So that's good news, though. You got your movie.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Right now, the idea is to have this event in February to bring these investors in, present the three films to the investors. The idea is to raise $1.5 million to do three films. So two films would shoot in New Hampshire, one film would shoot in Los Angeles, but it would be New Hampshire money all the way through.
And these people that you're going to be meeting in New Hampshire, can any one of them write a $1.5 million check?
I don't believe so.
So it's got to take a handful of people.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. The idea is to get as few investors as possible, but I think we will need more.
I was going to say, New Hampshire is probably not the place to go to look for real large investors, because you're not going to necessarily find a lot of that. New Hampshire is a very simple kind of...
There's a few people out there with money.
But it's not, it's very, very rare. I mean, New Hampshire, for the bigger part of it, I mean, it was the mills. A good portion of it was based on the mills, because that's what the road that used to go right through Goffstown.
They had the river.
Well, they had the river, but then that pine, what was the name of that road? It had the long, tall pines. They used to drive them right down the center of the town years and years and years ago. And then they went to the mills. And then the mills were where everybody worked. So it was a very kind of a more simple...
It's always nice, though, when you get a group of investors to know that all of them could at least write the 1.5, because then they can go in together and say, look, I'll get 500, you get 500, you get 500.
Right.
But either one of them or any one of them could write a 1.5.
There's an area in Newcastle. This is where most of the investors are coming from. And apparently Newcastle is like the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Of north of New Hampshire.
Right.
So a lot of these people are coming from that area.
And a lot of them aren't necessarily residents of Newcastle. They live elsewhere. They just go there to vacation.
Right. So what we're dealing with is people in that general area who are excited about this three-film pack, because there was another film that was in the pack that got vetoed because they deemed it not quote-unquote sexy enough. So I had to bring in a different film. But the idea is we get these people to come in and everybody sort of throws into the pot. And then we shoot the films and then we put them out to festivals. We do online distribution, digital distribution, while at the same time seeking other modes of distribution, DVD, video on demand, as well as limited theatrical release.
Well, you've got a lot of options online now, too, because you've got Netflix, Hulu. There's like four or five different ones now. Amazon.
Here's the thing, though. What a lot of people don't tell you, when you're dealing with distribution on Netflix, you as the filmmaker, you have to deliver $110,000 in order for Netflix to take your film and put it on Netflix.
You know, they lost a lot of their contracts. Mm-hmm. Because I was looking at it the other day. The kids use it all the time, but they do a lot of the TV shows through that. I was looking on it for just simple Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably one well-known Christmas movie. Everything else are those B and even C class kind of, things that are, I wouldn't watch them.
Well, Netflix, they cycle films out by the month. So what you'll get is you'll get like, you'll have like several films that'll come through and they are there. And then like when January comes, those films get cycled out and they'll cycle in new films. It's just the nature of it.
Right. You think around Christmas time, though, they'd have some of the classics, some of the things that people are looking for. Not even kids' classics.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, it's not up to Netflix.
It's up to the studios that own those films.
Right. Well, and that's what Jonathan was talking about, that they had lost a lot of their contracts with some of these studios where they were getting better movies before, and now they're not.
You won't find HBO shows on Netflix because HBO... See, the problem is these networks figured out that people will wait for the show to just show up on Netflix. They just figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is... the network will just shut off anything that's going to Netflix. They'll just shut it down. And that way, people have to subscribe to the actual pay network, like HBO or whatever it is, in order to get the shows, because...
So if you have to pay $110,000 to get your movie on Netflix, how do you make money as the filmmaker?
That's the big indie film question right now. How do you make money? And basically what it comes down to is you have to build your own audience.
But if Netflix is getting $110,000, they're obviously making money off of ads and things like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
they're making money.
They're not paying you a dime to be able to put your movie up there.
Well, you get, you know, once people get paid off, once that $110,000 gets paid off, then you're dealing with profit sharing. But you as the filmmaker, the producer of the film, you have to figure out a way to promote that film, let people know where they can see it, where they can find it, so that the film generates business. That's the new model.
Yeah.
The reason why studios are, like, losing out is because they're depending on the old model. The old model is dead.
It's kind of like self-publishing a book.
Yes.
You're not relying on your publisher to do all the work for you.
Right.
You have to do all the work now.
Right.
And you have to pay, because before it was your publisher who was paying to have all this stuff done. You're now essentially paying.
Exactly. That's what it all comes down to.
And that's what being an independent film writer would be. It would be like being an independent book writer.
It's you're contracting your business. That's what it really comes down to.
But it gives you more freedom.
It does.
To do things the way you want.
It's
a lot more work, and you also have to find the money to be able to support what you're trying to do.
Well, what it does is it sort of, what happens is you sort of filter out all the sort of one-off people. It becomes about people who want to have sustainable careers. People that are looking to build their own audience, to do films, and to do more than one film. If you just want to do a movie, you know, that's a...
So do you see this industry turning to more of an independent industry than organized like it is now?
Oh, yeah.
So how does somebody decide that they want to all of a sudden, you know, break into the indie films? They just get a camera and get some actors and write a script and put a movie together?
Shoot a movie. Right now, it's just like a few years back when, like, Napster revolutionized the music industry. It's the same thing that's going to happen. This system, especially with this new Sony hack situation, the whole model is breaking down. Everything's changing. Everything's like going out the window. The new model is coming in. Everything's subjugated. Back in the day, you only had like, you know, a few studios, a few networks. So if you hit upon something huge, it could permeate the entire population. It doesn't work like that anymore. People watch movies on their iPads, on their iPhones. It's a whole different situation. So you have to be specific to the people that you know are going to love what you're doing, and you have to be able to reach that audience. You have to reach that crowd. That's what crowdfunding really is about. It's less about funding and more about the crowd, more about the people who believe in what it is that you're doing, and connecting with those people, engaging with those people, building that audience, growing that audience, so that when you do something, those people that like what you do are anxious to see what you've done.
See what's coming next.
Right, exactly.
One of the things we want to do in our grand opening is to have a segment. Well, you as being on the board will we're going to be talking about this in January, that we want to do a one-hour segment during the day on independent films and get people to submit and choose three or four of the best films that will be shown during that day.
Smart.
So,
short films used to not have any meaning. Now, there are festivals just for short films.
Cool.
The way it's turning is you literally, as you shoot whatever it is that you shoot, you're building your own audience. You're gunning after specific people. Everything now is about specificity. You know, it's just like with television. You used to have like your four major networks. Now you've got six, plus you've got cable, plus you've got pay cable. Like, it's just, there's just so much. There's no way to create something that permeates the entirety of the culture anymore. You have to be subjugated. You have to be specific to people who dig what you do. So it's really about building that audience.
Cool. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you got any jokes?
I have a couple. They're corny, but they'll work.
Word. I don't have jokes that are appropriate for this show.
That was pretty funny. by the way, I ran into this guy. Remember Brian Nicolay?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure you do. But I ran into him. He's living in Europe full time now.
Nice.
And he's working with a band called the Flyboys, traveling all over the world, doing shows. And I happened to be at in Oxnard at a lawyer's office, and I walk out, and he's standing there on the curbside waiting for his father-in-law. I'm like, dude, Brian. He's like, hey. So he was there for about 5 minutes. They were heading out, and then he was taken off for wasn't going to be back for a year.
Wow.
So picking up his girlfriend. And so we have a few leftovers from him that we can remember him by. And this is Brian Nicolay and Coso, Made Up My Mind.
Nice.
I never meant to make you sad. I don't want to hurt you. Don't know why I feel so bad. If it's not me, it's you. Something about me you should know. I'm planting a seed and want it to grow. You've given my eyes a chance to see. All I'm saying is, baby, you are my one, you are my all. And I'm trying everything to show you that I want to be with you. I will stay by your side. I won't leave you behind. And the truth is, I've made up my mind. Till my eyes meet yours, they burn right through me. I just wanna jump on board and get caught up in your melody. There's something about you that speaks to my soul. The sweet simplicity of your song. Sing to my heart till the morning dawn. Oh, baby, you are my one, you are my all. And I've tried everything to show you that I wanna be with you. I will stay by your side. And the truth is, I've made up my mind. I never meant to make you sad, and I don't wanna hurt you. Don't know why I feel so bad. If it's not me, it's you. There's something about you that speaks to my soul. The sweet simplicity of your song. Sing to my heart till the morning dawn. Oh, baby, you are my one, you are my all. And I've tried everything to show you that I want to be with you. I will stay by your side. Won't leave you behind. And the truth is, my baby, you are my one, you are my all. And
I've tried everything to show you that I wanna be with you. I will stay by your side, I won't leave you behind. And the truth is, I've made up my mind.
That was, who was that?
Brian Nicolay and Coso.
Wow, I got short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Nicolay and Coso, Made Up My Mind on Rough Edge Studios. This is Listen Up Ventura. And Scott, if you're listening, we miss you. We got some drunk who's subbing for you right now. So, but he's not here.
Yeah. You ready?
I don't know if that is a good sign or a bad sign.
Maybe he just wasn't able to make it.
No, not Scott.
Oh.
Marcus.
Oh, he had a call.
Oh. All right. I was hoping he wasn't, you know, drinking all that bourbon and then eating chocolate chip cookies. I was afraid something was coming up.
Yeah. Nope. He wasn't eating chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, he was eating those processed cookies. Oh. Okay. Yum, yum. And speaking of cookies.
And hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for Tony's Comedy Corner, hosted by Delicious.
I miss Delicious. We haven't seen him in a while.
Mm.
I haven't seen the others either.
Mm. Okay. Boyfriend, why didn't you give me anything for my birthday? Girlfriend, you told me to surprise you.
That was the joke?
That was the joke. Johnny was racing around the garden on his new bicycle. He called out to his mother to watch his tricks. Look, Mom, no hands. Look, Mom, no feet. Whoa! Look, Mom, no teeth.
You didn't buy these, did you?
No.
Okay.
Why is Christmas just like a day at the office?
Why?
You do all the work and the fat guy with the suit gets all the credit.
Yeah, we just had a little dish on Santa Claus there.
Yes.
Well, fat guy in the suit.
Yeah, he's a fat dude.
Yeah.
It's holiday appropriate.
How is it after all these years he doesn't have diabetes?
How is it after all these years he still looks the same and hasn't aged any?
How is it after all these years?
You guys don't watch any of the Santa Claus movies, do you? They answer all these questions movies.
But this is the same. Listen, we got the same reindeer, and the same reindeer been running around for hundreds of years. Where are the new reindeer? Why isn't Rudolph have, like, you know...
They don't procreate.
Siblings. So what? They live forever? It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. I'm not going to get into it because it's a different show. I'm just
That's
saying
right.
It's weird.
And I think we should sing a Christmas carol. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Let's not sing.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not say we didn't.
That's not going to happen.
Okay.
But you can sing it.
No, I just got cut off.
I understand. Yeah. No. You didn't get cut off. We cut ourselves off from joining you in your festive singing. But you feel free to sing.
I don't want to.
I think you do.
No.
Talking about entertainers.
Yes.
Remember the other night we were listening to some music and the a cappella group.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No, they did not do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes, I remember that.
Straight with No Chaser.
Yes.
They are an amazing a cappella group that sings regular music as well as Christmas carols. And they are just... They are really funny. They have some really fun things. And it's kind of like they'll do a spin on some of the popular songs. Sometimes they'll sing them regular. Sometimes they'll switch them up a bit and change them around a little bit. And one of them that Jim was getting a real kick out of was Meghan Trainor's All About the Bass. Because they have all the tenors, the bass, the baritones, the percussion singers, all those different people in the group. They have like 10 guys in their group. So the bass guys, who never seem to get the leads, decided to come up with the song All About the Bass instead of No Tenors.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All about the bass, about the bass. No tenors.
That's funny.
It was really kind of fun and cute.
You know, people are a little upset with Meghan Trainor.
Why?
Well, because the whole song is sort of like, you know, a testament to people that aren't necessarily like the ideal weight.
Yes.
But then she lost weight.
She
so
did?
Yeah, she lost weight. So people are a little upset with her because she's not as, you know, rotund as she used to be.
But I just saw her on the awards ceremony, and she didn't look like, I mean, she wasn't fat, but she wasn't skinny.
Right. I know. I'm just saying. This is what's happening. People are revolting against.
Oh.
We really enjoyed, Jonathan and I watched the AMAs. And there was some guy in the front, some parakeet, I guess you can call him, dressed in yellow.
Oh, really?
Having a fabulous time.
The big fat dude?
No, skinny, skinny, skinny. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, he was a whole heck of a lot of fun to watch.
He was all the colors of the rainbow.
They did the
halo. Bright yellow in particular.
They did the Halo Awards for kids on Nickelodeon. And there was a really large male person that was performing with Meghan Trainor.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who's on her video.
He's a big, big, big.
Yeah, I think he's Samoan or something like that.
He's a big boy.
Yes, he is.
He looks very much like Sione.
One of our Polynesian dancers.
Oh, really?
Samoan. I swear it was him. I asked him to do a split to prove that it was him. But, yeah, he can dance like him, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's, you know, it's good. People should be able to express themselves and their bodies in however.
Oh, Sione teaches dance. He does salsa and rumba, and for the quinceañeras, he teaches the kids their routines and choreographs their whole things and stuff like that.
And he's a big boy.
Big boy.
Big boy. So we haven't seen them in a while either, so I miss them.
Mm.
But, as you know, being on the board, we are still waiting to get clearance from the city to be able to open up our doors. So we have to get some more permitting, but we're hopeful sometime soon we'll be able to get this party launched or should I say get this party going. But
started.
Yeah. Get this party started.
That's okay. Don't elaborate. Yeah. Just leave it at that.
No parties?
No.
You don't want to elaborate. You just get the party started. And you just move on.
Okay.
It's not funny if you don't. You start to sound kind of like one of those weird adults who's trying to sound cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a. Yeah. You just want to move on.
I don't. Yeah. Okay. So what's next? what are you doing for the holidays?
I don't know. Just relaxing.
You gonna be around for Christmas?
Should be.
Any family?
Yeah.
Who?
My wife.
That's it?
Pretty much.
Just hanging out that day?
Yeah.
No Christmas Eve thing?
What do you mean Christmas Eve?
So you don't like go visit one set of family on one day and another set of family on the other day?
No.
See, that's one of the advantages to living out in California is you can't go jump to 16 different families because you're 3,000 miles away.
No, but now that our boys are getting older, they start bringing everybody to us.
True. Although, are they all bringing? Yeah, I guess they are.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
So,
We've only got one little one who doesn't have a girl just yet.
Well, he does.
Well, not officially.
Yeah. So, so that's all you're doing, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to put the RV out.
Oh, you're going to do the whole
thing?
Yeah,
except we're not going to like put any plans in place, I don't think. Because you never know.
Right. That's smart. That's good.
Don't look at me like that.
I have no idea what's going on.
It's a way to keep it.
Okay. So what do we got going on for the holidays?
I don't know. We're trying to figure out how to coordinate everything with everybody. You know, when you've got as many kids as we have, and then they start having girlfriends and wives.
It's a lot of kids.
It's a lot. Five boys. and it's a lot.
It's a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
You guys got a lot of dudes.
You know,
and
what?
And they're all big, so they get in the house, and it's like, I don't know, it takes up a lot of space. And then Jake gets excited and starts roughhousing with his brothers, and in 1 week, he's broken I don't know how many things because he just keeps wrestling with his brothers.
It's a lot of dudes.
Throwing him around. He can pick up Joshua and just, like, literally just throw him across the room practically.
Well, in Joshua's defense, he's a small dude.
Six two.
Yeah, but, you know.
He's light. Not bulky.
He's light.
He's not bulky like
Jake.
He's
stringy.
Yeah.
He's a stringy guy.
Yeah.
Jake is trying to bulk, and he's turning into a brick wall.
It's a different situation.
I get, on every Christmas, I get my favorite dish.
Which is?
Sticky buns.
Fish?
Sticky buns.
All right. I'm not even going to go into that.
It's breakfast rolls.
Do I want to hear this?
Yeah, it's nothing gross.
With
if
walnuts.
You like my chocolate chip cookies, the sticky buns are even better.
Those chocolate chip cookies.
So you put what? Whiskey and...
I cook it with usually brandy because brandy and butter has like a caramel kind of flavor.
That's good. That's
so
good
you make stuff. The sauce and then you pour it in the bottom of the pan. So it has this like caramelly, buttery sauce. And then you make these cinnamon rolls from scratch so they come out nice and fluffy. And you put them on top and then you bake it. And he likes it with walnuts, so I put walnuts in the bottom. That's and then you put the rolls on top and then you bake it. And then you flip the pan upside down. And so they're these oozy sticky buns. That's why you call them sticky buns.
That's pretty solid stuff.
My favorite.
It's solid stuff.
Favorite. And I only get it on Christmas Day.
Ooey gooey. I make them. No, I've made them other times too, but they're really it takes a while to make them because you have to make them the night before. And then you put them in the refrigerator. And then the morning you got to have them out, sitting out for like a half an hour before you put them in the oven and special. Everything. So
it's a special thing.
So next Thursday, we won't be having our show. And the Thursday after that, we won't be having our show because we got Christmas and then we got New Year's.
Oh, that's right.
So
it all falls on this day.
Yeah. And when we come back, we should have some paranormals for guests on the show. So that should be pretty cool.
That would be fun.
Trying to get a hypnotist.
Nice.
On the show. So
we should get some guests for Church Freedom. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Why don't you do my segment early? Because Jonathan's like chomping at the bit for me to take him to his PTYA.
Ah. Okay.
All right.
So this is her segment early.
And now it's time for Wisdom with Julie on Listen Up, Ventura.
When we are unable to find tranquility within ourselves, it is useless to seek it elsewhere.
Word.
All right. I actually, can I throw in a couple seeing that you did my jokes?
You may do whatever you want.
Okay. I actually got these in passing as I was going to a doctor's appointment. Unless you walk out into the unknown, the odds of making a profound difference in your life are pretty low. And the future is not some place we are going to, but a place we are creating. The paths to it, or your phone goes blank, the paths to it are not found, they are made.
Profound.
Very profound.
I have to step out, but I will leave you with this.
You got some words of wisdom?
I got some words of wisdom.
Okay. Ready? All right. Hit me.
People will do only what they want to do, and they won't do anything they don't have to do. Think about it.
All right. With that, we're going to end with Hard Six Haunted Ride. This is Listen Up Ventura. Have everybody have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year.
Chaka Zulu.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. driving me.
Been a Rough Edge FM production.